Well, one of my favorite movies is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. How many of you have seen that movie? With Harrison Ford, right? Yeah. All I know is Indiana Jones, you know. And Indiana Jones is on the quest for the Holy Grail. And there is a quote in this movie that the first time I saw it, I had to go rent it. And then I kept rewinding and rewinding because there was one sentence, one quote that I thought, this can't be in a major motion picture. But it was. And I wrote it down word for word. Indy's sidekick, Marcus Brody, before they leave on the quest, he says this to Indiana Jones. He says, the quest or the search for the cup of Christ is the search for the divine in all of us. Wow. This was a Hollywood major motion picture. The search for the cup of Christ, the Holy Grail, is the search for the divine in all of us. William Shakespeare once said, there's a divinity that shapes our ends. There's a divinity that shapes our ends, which means there's a divinity that shapes each one of us. You know, 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus discovered that part within himself that was divine. And then religions all down through the ages got so preoccupied with the religion about Jesus. Preachers, you know, got emphasized the divinity of Jesus, the miracles done by Jesus. And institutions and monuments have been made to a man that was not fully understood and a message that was not fully applied. Because if you really take a look at what Jesus really taught, he taught about the divinity of humankind, didn't he? He told us that what he did, we can do too. He told us always about there's a power within you. It's all about awakening the power within you. And I don't know about you, but I get really excited about this subject. And this Wednesday, we're starting a class, Discover the Power Within You, based on the book by the same name by Eric Butterworth. It's all about discovering that power that is within you. And we'll be taking the next 6 weeks to take a look and discussing this book and how we can activate this power within. So if you're interested, pick up a book. It's my book of the month suggestion. So pick the book up, read it. It's a great read. Eric Butterworth is a phenomenal writer and Unity minister. He's deceased now, but he wrote some incredible things. This is about the Sermon on the Mount, which is one of Jesus' most incredible dissertations. So join us Wednesday if you'd like to. We'll have some very good discussions. But for many of us, life is what happens to us. Life is, you know, we're just pushed around by whatever comes into our life. Ever been there? Been there, done that? Well, Jesus discovered that part, that divinity within himself, and he shared its secrets with us. And he found that he was able to open these doors to the incredible, inexhaustible mind of God. And then he said, come on, come on, follow me. Don't worship me, follow me into a bigger, more incredible life. Jesus taught that within each one of us there is a potential, there is a divine potential. There is a spark of divinity. There is a presence and a power, spiritual perfection, which in Unity we call the Christ. The Christ. So we have this divine potential, this spiritual perfection, this spark of divinity, which means the presence of the Christ is within us. That's what we find within us. And Jesus tapped into this divine potential, and he expressed it so completely and fully that we didn't know where Jesus stopped and God started. There was no, because he said, you see me, you see the face of God. So he even knew, he was hooked in to this divine presence. But we forget that, don't we? We kind of walk through life, you know. But Jesus said we have the same power. We have the same potential within us, and even greater, and even more so, he said, that when we tap into this divine potential, that we have this spiritual capacity to do great things. Now, we're not quite demonstrating it, are we, for the most part? Would you say? I think we can all agree on that. But Jesus, in in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12, he said, "The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing." He didn't stop there. He continued and he said, "But even greater things will you do. You not only what I'm doing will you do, but you will even do greater works than these." That was a promise. And so how do we do that? How do we do that? We must make a decision. And we must make a decision for Christ. Not Jesus. Huge, big difference. We must make a decision for the Christ. And we must make a decision to step into the light of the Christ that God individualized as you and me. And we must make a decision to reach for the higher potential within us and claim our divinity and open ourselves up to the magnificence that's within us. We must be willing to awaken to the incredible power that lies within. Because you and I are made in the image and the likeness of God. And that's divine. If God's divine, we're divine too. We're made in that image and likeness. And so this Christ presence, this God expressing as us, this God being pressed forth through us into human form, this God individualized as you and as me, that is that seed of divinity that was placed within us in the very beginning. And Jesus talked about this kingdom of God. Have you noticed? If you've read your scripture, he talked about the kingdom. It was a central message to his teachings. He mentioned the kingdom 113 times in the short little gospels that we have account of his teachings. And so the kingdom was extremely important to his message. And he never literally defined it. He would say the kingdom of God is like. And then he would tell these stories. He would talk about these. He would talk in parables about, how he would compare the activity and the qualities of the kingdom to things such as seeds and leaven and fishnets and talents and my personal favorite, pearls. And things that people, the common person, could understand, the fisherman, the farmer, the laborer, that they could understand and relate to. And he didn't talk in, kind of highfalutin terms. He went to the people of the level of the people that he was standing before. And he also was very clear that this kingdom was not a location. He said it's neither here nor there. It's in your midst. It's within you. And so it's not some place to go, this kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. It's not some place to go, it's a quality, a state of consciousness. It's something to be. It's this omnipresent, ever-pervading spiritual dimension of life that lies within us. It's that spark of divinity, the Christ potential. As the Apostle Paul put it, he said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's your hope of glory. And so how do we make this decision? How do we decide to live in this kingdom of God all the time? Begin to act the part. Have you heard the expression, fake it till you make it? Just act it. Think about what would the Christ think? What would the Christ say? How would the Christ act? And then do it. Start being it. And it requires a complete change in our way of thinking. And it calls us to rebirth. It calls us to have this born anew in spiritual consciousness. And Jesus addresses this in a great story in the third chapter of John. It's about Nicodemus, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the ruling class of the time. And he comes to Jesus, which in itself is amazing. There's this, a man of his stature talking to this itinerant preacher. It was unheard of. Let me tell you a little bit about the Pharisees and see if there isn't a touch of a Pharisee in you. Pharisees are extremely overly religiously zealous, and they're really stuck on observing the letter of the law, and they adhere to the strict ceremonial requirements. They're very pious. They have great influence over the people. And they're very focused on the form of worship. And it kind of leaves a little bit of the spirit out of it. You know, they're not real focused on the spirit of it. And so there's this group of people, the Pharisees, that have become very dogmatic, very narrow-minded, and very self-righteous. And so Charles Fillmore, interestingly enough, he's our co-founder of Unity. And he says, metaphysically, which is how in Unity we look at the Bible. We don't look at the Bible literally. We don't look at each word. We look at the image and the meaning behind the words, which makes it very rich and exciting. And so metaphysically, Charles Fillmore says, there is a Pharisee within each one of us. And take a look if that isn't true. Is it that there's a part of us that is so stuck on form without really understanding why? It's like reading a road map and never ever traveling the road. We know something about it, but we never have the experience of it. There's a huge difference, huge difference. And so so Nicodemus goes to Jesus and is asking, you know, or just kind of curious, the fact that he even went, you know. We need to just kind of look at the whole setting, because Charles Fillmore is asking us to prove Christianity. He's asking us to have the experience of it. And so the Pharisee within us just wants the form, wants the outer, wants everything to look good. But Charles Fillmore said, you know, we live in a school of demonstration. We're here to demonstrate. It's our fifth unity principle, which we take the truth that we know and we put it into practice. We literally live it. We go out and we become it. And so looking at this story opens us up to this, you know, a new meaning. We need to look at the mystery and the magic of that the Bible is showing us, and we need to be open ourselves to metaphysically to the power of the imagery and the mystical deeper meaning. And so let's take a look at the story. Get back to the story. Nicodemus, this is chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader of the Jews. And late one night, he visits Jesus. Now, the story just starts out. Nicodemus goes to see Jesus, and it's at night. A couple things going on here. Nicodemus, again, as I said, he's a prominent leader of the Jews. And he feels, probably intuitively knows, that Jesus has something that he needs to hear, that he needs to learn. And so he goes by night, which obviously means he doesn't want to be seen. He kind of sneaks around, and he goes at night to see Jesus because he knows that Jesus has something that he wants to know. And Nicodemus goes on and says, Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it. Jesus said, you're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom. Now, this is kind of interesting, because Nicodemus hasn't asked any question yet. But Jesus is reading his mind. Jesus knows exactly why Nicodemus is there. Jesus knows exactly the question that Nicodemus wants to ask. And he answers it before Nicodemus ever gets a chance to ask it. Isn't that interesting? I find that very interesting. And so Jesus is saying, you know, that there's something interesting going on here, something more than meets the eye. And Jesus makes it clear that intellectual inquiries about the kingdom aren't helpful. They're not helpful at all. We can know it, but yet not really know it in our heart. And so intellectual inquiries are not how to approach the kingdom. And so Jesus kind of messes with his mind. He kind of plays with him with all the, you know, with the, you've got to be born from above. And he asks Nicodemus to look at it differently, to look at it in a different way, because the spiritual kingdom, you know, can only be understood and entered if you're spiritually quickened, if you're born from above, if you're born anew. And so then Nicodemus begins to pose the intellectual arguments. How can anyone be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. You know, and to the intellectual human mind, the answer would probably be no. You can't be born again. You can't enter your mother's womb and be born again. But Jesus didn't think this was a silly question. And I believe the answer is yes, in a metaphysical way. Because listen how Jesus responds. He said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to the original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom." When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see or touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above. You have to be born from above. William Cameron, a Unity minister, in a book called The Great Dramas of the Bible, writes, in the story of Nicodemus, Jesus takes us back to our original origin. Enter into, again, in your imagination, into your mother's womb, that time before your physical human birth, back to that initial moment when you became flesh, that one little living cell, and ask yourself, is that the beginning of me? And you will see that it isn't at all. Your physical mother gave you birth and gave you a beginning here in this life experience on earth. But your original birth was in the beginning when you were created in the image and likeness of God, and the seed of your divinity was planted within you. And William Cameron goes on to write, "This knowledge is the starting point for real spiritual attainment. The real purpose of all human life is the growth and unfoldment of our spiritual potential through spiritualized living." And so this process of birth isn't easy, and it can be rather messy at times. Do you agree? But we don't want to give up what's familiar. You know, we want to hang on to what we know. And so birth is about accelerated change. And change isn't always easy and fun, but birth, whether it's spiritual or physical, birth is one of the most magical and one of the most joyous events of all life. Isn't it? It is. That wonderful moment of creation. And so we are all here to seek the kingdom of God, to live every moment in the kingdom, aren't we? Aren't you? I don't know about you. I want to live in that kingdom all the time, in that place of love, and to live in heaven all the time, to never have another fear thought, to never be angry, to always live in a body that's healthy and vital and full of energy. And we can't do that unless we're born from above or born anew. We're born in the flesh. That we can all attest to, right? We can all feel this body. We live in this five-dimensional or five-sense, three-dimensional world. We are experts at this five-sense material world, aren't we? And it's rather enjoyable most of the time. But we want more. We want so much more. In Unity's Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, it says, to be born of spirit is to come into the consciousness of divine law and lift up the whole human to a new life of order, harmony, and order. To be born of spirit is to come into that consciousness of divine law and lift up the whole human into a new harmony and order. And so it means to actually lift yourself up into a new place, but not physically, but spiritually, in consciousness. Now, every single person here today has changed. You know, you're not the same person you were last month, last year, 2 years ago. Some of you are probably saying, thank God. But you're not even the same person you were when you walked in the door this morning. We changed all the time, every moment. You hear something new, you experience something, the meditation, the music. Something happens and you change, your consciousness shifts. And so we've changed, we're not the same. We're born constantly anew many, many, many times. Many times. And thank goodness we do. And so rebirth means change, it means thinking differently, it means waking up. And so Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you've got to have a new birth. You've got to be born into a new life, a new consciousness. You've got to step into this new way of being, thinking, being awake, transformation. And so we step into that now. We step into that newness of life. We step into a new birth. And so Nicodemus gives us in five little words, we get the key to spiritual transformation. And it's you must be born anew. You must. You must rise up into a new level of consciousness. It tells the whole story. You know, we must make a decision for the Christ. We must believe in our own divinity. Because only when we are born anew and lift into this spiritual potential that is out is right within us, and we need to reach for that and allow it to fill our whole being. And when we do, we will know the truth. The truth that there is this incredible, powerful, amazing potential that is within us that we have barely even scratched. So Jesus said that the kingdom of God is a here and now, present moment experience. And so when we open to know the truth, then we will be free. We'll be free to awaken to the power within us. So a man once asked Socrates, how do I get to Mount Olympus? And the wise man said, just make every step you take go in that direction. So I want to end with this beautiful Jewish prayer today. Oh God, help me to remember the truth about myself, no matter how beautiful it is. Let's say that together. Oh God, help me to remember the truth about myself, no matter how beautiful it is. God bless you. Namaste.